Chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. And Emily, thank you for reading this verse wonderfully. And because of our purpose in being here this morning, I want to focus on three main points of this chapter 12 of Romans that Paul is talking to the believer, the church. So if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ with your Lord, as your Lord and Savior, and you have not given to your life, this message may sound like, well, I don't have that. I don't have that gift. Well, hang on. We will come to that towards the end of the message. But first, Paul is bringing this up because he wants the church to be in one, the body of Christ to be one in Christ, in the Messiah. So three points that I'm going to highlight today, and I'm going to make it quick. The first one would be that he called for the right beginning. If we're going to have the same mind and in unity and one body in Christ, to be one in Christ, we need to have the right beginning. And that right beginning starts from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, is for all of us to offer our body as a living sacrifice. And when we do that, we have that right beginning. So this morning, I want to focus on knowing that we are here because we are believers and that we have done that. We have given our body as living sacrifices. We surrender our will. We have been redeemed by God, and we've been called by God as forgiven people. Therefore, you and I offer our body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and that we have surrendered our hearts and will to God. That's the right beginning. Since we have done that, let me move to my next point, which will be the right attitude, the proper attitude. It's a serious topic here. So I'm going to open up with a little lighter notes, not to water it down, but I'm going to open this with the joke that I ask kindergartners whenever I'm with them. Why does the giraffe have such a long neck? I'm serious. Why does the giraffe have such a long neck? The giraffe has such a long neck so that the head and the body will be connected. There's no other way. Okay? There's no other way. Otherwise, the head will be flowing up there and say, hey, I'm up here, folks. Right? It's simple. It's the body. That was what we're going to talk about, the body. That's what precisely what Paul used to describe unity, to be one, and he just used the body. That we are all connected. As silly as it may sound, we need to be connected. And that's what Paul is talking about here. And so he starts it out by this, to have a proper attitude in the body of Christ. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you. Did you hear the tone, the word, the keyword that Paul said this in, started out with? For by the what? The grace. The grace. The charis. That's the word, the Greek word, the urgent grace. Paul said, I'm saying this to you not because I'm better than you are or I'm higher than you are, but I'm saying this to you, my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. In the mercy of God, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And Paul is saying to the church, do not have the wrong perception about yourself and project that out. And don't have the wrong idea about yourself and thinking that you are much better than you actually are, but have a sober judgment Think wisely and be true to yourself, and in humbleness, recognizing that whatever God has given you is by grace through faith. And how did Paul put it? He said, whatever God is giving you is by the measure of your faith. So in this regard, if we all look at ourselves at this moment, and you don't have to spell it out loud, each and every one of us in this church, in this building, are at a very different level of faith. In that level of faith, God has given you his gifts to you for the glory of God. So each believer, each and every one of you in this building has at least one gift that has been given to you when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This gift is not that something that we can sought after or to go after it. This is a gift from God. And that gives the word charismata, the Greek word, comes from charis, which is grace. That is, actually, the gift that you're getting, receiving, is grace gift. Can you repeat after me? Can you say grace gift? Grace gift. Whatever gifts you have in the body of Christ, God has given you, it is for the glory of God, and it is given by grace and for others, for the service of God, not for yourself or for your own glory, not for ourselves or for our own glories. So Paul said, have that right proper attitude in the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, then you will keep that unity. Then you will remain as a body in the body of Christ. And elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about we are body with many parts, and talking about the hands has to do with the hands' job, and the feet has to do what the feet has to do, and the head and the body. And so, and therefore, we all take parts in so many gifts, and we have those gifts given, in fact, uniquely for the glory of God. And each of us have that unique gift that is not the same with everyone else. So if you're the hand, you can say, well, you know, everyone has to be like the hand, or else I won't do it. And if the feet, vice versa, you can say, oh, everyone has just to go along with my, just like the feet does. Paul is saying all of these gifts are given so that it can work. We can work together for the glory of God to be one in the Messiah. Let me illustrate that briefly. One day I was so hungry at night. And you know how I know that? My stomach told me. It spoke in the language that my brain could understand. It went, rrr, rrr, rrr. You're familiar with that? And so my stomach told my brain, it said, oh, you're hungry. Go to the kitchen. It was dark. I went. I didn't probably turn on the light. So I hit the corner of the door, and I hit that corner with my knees. And my knees said, I'm hurting. You know how I know that? My mouth said, ouch. So my brain said, forget the food. Take care of your knees. I'm serious. They're all working together. I don't know how they do that. That's as scientific as I could go, okay? If you're a doctor or medical personnel, medical staff, you would know that how our body functions beyond what we could see. Think about the cells, like the blood cells and the nerve cells. And what other cells do we have? Brain cells, perhaps, right? Okay, all those cells are at this very moment working together harmoniously. Did I say the word right? Harmoniously, so whatever Bonnie said. They are working together in unity, and no one say, oh, I'm the blood cell, I'm just going to do whatever. No. All the blood cells had to work together. I'm not going to go far because I don't know enough, all right? See, why would Paul use that about the body? We are one body with many members. Because God has given all of us unique gifts. Diversity. Not in our beliefs or our thoughts. Diversity, I'm talking about our belief in Christ, but diversity in gifts, the grace gift, the charismata, which is grace gift, so that you and I could use this gift gracefully, mercifully, for the glory of God, for the unity of the body. When you and I do that, God is glorified, and the church becomes one in the body of Christ. Men and women, God has given you those gifts. Those gifts are to be recognized as a grace from God. It is not to be something to be proud about. It is not something to be used as, well, I have this gift, so I'm more important than anyone else. If anyone come up, you know, after me and say, well, you know what? You're the hands. You're not that important. Well, I'm the hands. I'm important. No, you know what? The Bible is saying, you're the hands, you're important. You're the feet, you're important. You're the head, you're important. Every part of our body, our physical body, is important. And it's the same thing for the body of Christ. The work we do, the ministry we do, the mission we do, some given for our church in particularly, some are bigger than the other areas, and some have, it seems that have larger involvement than the other areas. But all of our ministry, all of our work, all of our committees, all of our boards, all of our church volunteer works, peoples, elders, individual, everyone are important and they are needed for the glory of God. Can we say amen to that? Amen. You are all needed because God has called you here to do his work. So Paul said, recognize that. Don't think yourself more than you ought to, but recognize and use those gifts that God has given you for the right relationship. Moving down to verse 6. It's good to have the right beginning. It's good to have the right attitude. But when we use the gifts, the grace gifts that God has given us, it develops and then it results into us having the right relationship. Verse 6. And starting with verse 5. So in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all others. Verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with what? Your faith. The faith level that is given to you. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Verse 8. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. When we begin the right way, when we have the proper attitudes for the gifts that are given to us, and it will result in having the right relationship, because you and I are playing our parts, doing our work, utilizing our gifts for the kingdom of God, that no hands need to make extra work or put on things that the hands is not called to do, or no feet need to go somewhere the feet should not go, or it's not called to go, but each of us do our parts. And when we do that, when we glorify God through our gifts, indeed, we become one, those who are many, but one in Christ. Why is that? Because it will result, ultimately move all of us, every one of us, to the service, humble service to the kingdom of to the God of the Almighty God in his kingdom. You see, That's precisely what Jesus said. The Son of Man came to serve. Not to be served, but to serve and to offer himself as a ransom for many. It's in Mark and Matthew. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for all of us. His miracles, his preaching, his teaching, all end up into Jesus giving his life for all of us. He served us, and now he's calling us to do the same. And I have to admit to you, sometimes I myself can get carried away. From time to time, when the service ended, it doesn't happen every Sunday. It might not happen this Sunday. But from time to time, I get one individual shook my head and say, "Ah, Joseph, that was an excellent sermon." And I was like, "Nah, you don't mean that." And they go, yeah, I mean that. I say that because I want to hear more and more. I'm not kidding you. I confess my sin, all right? That's something I need to work. That's not your problem. That's something that I have to work with. I was like, nah, that's nothing. Yeah. And they go, yeah. So Paul is saying, that itself is pride. He said, don't think yourself more highly about yourself. Or don't have a false self-image and present it to the world and saying, I'm nothing. Just to hear somebody saying, oh, you're good, you're wonderful. And Paul said, have a sober judgment. And don't hold back your gifts either. Don't hold back your gifts. Paul said, use it. If it's a gift of prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's a gift of teaching, then teach. If it's a gift of service, then serve. Serving. And if it's a gift of giving, then give generously. And it is to lead. Do it diligently. Don't hold back the gifts. Just because you're not the feet or the mouth, you are called to do the work of God. And if you don't do it, guess what? Someone else will do it. Because God will be accomplished whether if you do it or not. But it will not be the same. Because God has given you those unique gifts specifically for his glory through you. One body in Christ, my friends. Realize the gifts that God has given you. But think of yourself with sober judgment. Think humbly. When you come before God, recognizing that everything you have is given to you by grace. By grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We can't earn it. We can't work towards it. And that's why we call it grace. Recognizing that, use that gifts for the glory of God, for others. Failure to do that. Here's a warning. Failure to do that. We will use the gifts for ourselves. We will use those gifts for our own glory. In the end, no one benefits. Even the kingdom of God suffers. And no wonder why Paul put this word in Romans 12 as an instruction to the church for a proper response to the salvation that you and I receive. This, my friends, Romans 12, is a proper response to the grace and mercy and the salvation that God has given us. This is how we respond to God. We offer our body as living sacrifices for his glory, for his honor. And then we use our gifts for the body of Christ, for the church. When we do that, you and I will be moved to humble service in the body of Christ, and the church will be unified. And that work has already begun in Christ, who gave us his life so that the world may come to him. Thanks be to God. Amen.